Man, what an awesome day we have today, okay? First of all, worship the Lord. So good, okay? The people that couldn't even fit on stage for baptism, that's amazing. The food, yep, that's probably a better thing, yep. I was going to say the hot dogs and hamburgers we're going to eat later. Woo! Baptisms are better, okay? But food's also good. But then the baptisms down the lake, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be very cold. It's going to be awesome. You're going to see people come up, and you're going to really see them come to a new life because they're going to be like, it's going to be so good. Okay, well, we have a great day ahead. And guys, I just want to say I'm so proud of the youth that are up here today. Obviously, there was a lot of them, like 14 of them that are getting baptized. And just so amazing to see youth that are just hungry, that they recognize that there's life that the world offers them, but they see that there's something special here. And they're like, you know what? I want to see more of this life with Jesus. And they're like, I want to take that next step and say, you know what? I don't need the world. I need you, Jesus. And so I'm super proud. I'm super happy. I'm going to be smiling all day. It's going to be great. But I hope to see you guys there at the baptisms celebrating with these guys. So let's get in today. All right, I have a story about commitment. Okay, does anyone get a little shivers? Like, ooh, commitment. That's a scary word. Okay, commitment. All right, when I, a few months ago, I was up on the stage preaching last time, and I tried to land a kickflip on stage on my skateboard. Okay, I didn't make it. I did not land it. I actually injured myself in the process, but you didn't know because I played it off so cool. Okay, because that's what skateboarders do. They get hurt, they're like, no, it didn't hurt. And they kept going. So I wasn't able to land a kickflip, and that was one of the tricks that was really hard for me. But there was a trick on the skateboard that I did learn to do and accomplished it very successfully. And semi-successfully. Okay, and that is dropping, like, on a ramp, dropping in on a skateboard. So if you don't know what that is, it kind of looks like this. This one's obviously massive. Okay, but that's what a ramp is, and, like, dropping in. So you go from there, and you, like, ride down it. All right? I learned how to do that in a way. I learned on some smaller ones, and I was like, okay, this is awesome. But then we had this, one of these at youth I grew up in, at West Kelowna. But this one was like homemade, and it was like yay tall. And I actually still remember it. It was blue and it was a little raggedy, but I saw, and it was steep. And I saw that and I was like, man, I wanna be able to drop in on that one. And all the cool kids were doing it. And so I was like, I'm grade 6 or 7, 8. I'm like, I can do that. I wanna be cool too. And so I wanted to learn how to drop in on a skateboard down this ramp. But this is the thing. This ramp was like nearly vertical at the top. It was like literally straight down. And when you drop in on a skateboard ramp, okay, you put your skateboard like that guy did on the side and you like hover your foot over. And at one point you have to like fully commit to this thing and you have to stomp on the front of the board. Because what happens is when you stomp on it, the front wheels then make contact with the ramp and then you like ride down it and you ride out. Okay, that's what you have to do. And so I was like, okay, I've done it on smaller ones. I can do it on this one. I can commit. But I was super scared. I remember there was a couple weeks where I was up there and I was like almost there and then I like chickened out and got off and didn't do it. But then this one week, I was like, you know what? I can do it. So I was up there. I was on the edge. People were like, Riley. Okay, I was getting pumped, but I was still a little scared. I was like, oh, I don't know. I might back out. But then out comes of the door comes my church crush. And I was like, I'm about to land this trick and land the lady. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And so I got a little bit more courage. Grade 7, 8 Riley, you know. I was like, okay, I can do this. Everyone's like chanting. She was watching. I was like, flexed a little bit. Got on. I was like, okay, I was still scared though. But I was like, I got to do this. I can do this. And so I was like, let's do it. I went to try. But the thing is, I was still scared. And so I didn't fully commit to this thing. I like half committed. And what resulted in that is instead of my front wheels making contact with this ramp, and I was gonna skate down, skate out with the girl. Okay, that was what was supposed to happen. But what happened is I didn't fully commit, and so instead of the wheels touching it, they never did. I instead wheelied down this whole thing, okay, on two wheels. And when I reached the bottom, my body was supposed to go this way, but instead the board went that way. And I continued downwards. And what I did is I ended up hitting my butt, my back, my head, my tailbone, and my heart also hurt. Okay? And I did not land this thing. And I look up, and all I see is a skateboard flying through the air towards my crush. And no, I'm kidding. That did not happen. That would have been crazy. That would have been crazy. And so I didn't land this thing. Everyone was like, ooh. And again, I was grade 7, 8, and my crush was there, and I was hurt. I don't think I even tried dropping in off this ramp again. But I didn't make it because I didn't commit to this fully. I was too scared. And so have you ever half committed to something? Have you ever half committed and like not fully committed to something? Maybe it was a relationship with someone. You like were like, yeah, I kind of like you, but I don't know. And so then it fizzled out. Maybe it's like learning how to golf. You're like, hey, I want to learn to golf. And you're like, I'm only gonna go once a week instead of the 40 times that you have to go a week to get good at golf. And then and it doesn't work. Okay, maybe have you ever tried committing to going to the gym? Usually it's like a week commitment and you're like, all right, back to the gym of my stomach. I'm gonna go eat some food. Okay, whatever you commit to, have you ever half committed to something? Because what happens when you half commit is that often it doesn't work out. The plan fails, the relationship falls apart, the sport you're trying to get good at gets too hard, and so you give up. When we half commit to something, it's harder to actually keep going. And so my question I have for you today is, how much of a commitment level, how much effort do you put into your relationship with Jesus? Have you like partially committed? You show up Sundays, you listen to the word, but when you go home, you kind of just don't think about Jesus for the rest of the week, and then you come back on Sunday, get a refresh, you know, like partially committed. Or are you like, hey God, you have my mornings, I'm gonna read my Bible in the mornings, but then afternoon and evenings is me time, I do what I want. Okay, maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, hey God, I'm giving you 3 weeks only. If you show up in these 3 weeks, I'll commit to you, but if not, I'm out. Like, are you 85% there, but just can't cross that threshold? And so I like to ask my youth, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no commitment, 10 being full commitment, where do you stand on your relationship with Jesus between those two? 1 being nothing, 10 being full commitment. Okay, place yourself right now. Think of your number. Is it 2? Is it 4? Is it 9? Is it 7? Is it -1? Whatever it might be. Put yourself on that scale. And my question for you is, what would it take to go up one number? To go from a 6 to a 7? From a 1 to a 2? Think about it. What would it take to commit one a little bit more? And what if you did commit that, what would your life look like? Do you think you'd be less happy or more happy? Do you think you'd be less content with life or more content with life? Do you think you'd have less peace or more peace? Do you think you'd have less motivation for life or more motivation for life? Okay, think about it. If you committed more, what would your life look like? Because this is the thing, God, like we talked about, God has already offered himself fully to us. So it's not on him to help us commit more. It's on us. Only us are in the way of committing more. And so you got to ask yourself, hey, what would it take to commit to Jesus a little bit more? What would it look like to live a 10 out of 10 commitment to Jesus in our lives? That's what I want to discover with you today. And so there's a passage in the Old Testament, so if you have your Bible, you can open it up. Okay, we're going to be going to good old Ezekiel, all right, 47. So if you can open yourself up there, if you have a Bible, if not, it'll be on the screen. But we're going to unpack this today, and it also fits really well with baptisms, what's happening today. And so we're going to just fully unpack what this means. And so leading up to this, what's happening is Ezekiel is getting these visions from God. And in this vision, he's with this heavenly host. All right, he's showing him around this new temple that God's, when he restores his people, this new temple that they're going to live in. And so he's showing him like literally the finest details of like, hey, this is where the priests are going to sleep. This is where they're going to cook their food. Hey, this chair has to be in this corner, this angle. And like this star has to be up here. Okay, he's giving immense details. And so they're walking around the temple. And then this moment happens in 47. We're going to read 1 to 6. It says this. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,700 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. And so we see the stream issuing from underneath this temple. He's like, there's a stream coming out from underneath it. And then from that, this heavenly guide goes and measures out a distance, half a kilometer, brings him into the water, ankle deep. He's like, cool. It's like when we get into Skaha Lake and you're testing how cold it is, probably what the baptism people are going to do today. They get in there and they're like, They're like, okay, it's not bad. Okay, but then he takes him out and he brings him another half kilometer further. And then they go in. He's like up to the knees. And you know that part is still fine, you know? The knees is still fine. It's when you get to the waist, that's the hard part. And he's in the water. He's like, okay. And he takes him another half a kilometer and it's waist. And he keeps going over and over and over again until it's over Ezekiel's head. So they do this again and again and again. But this is the thing that's important, okay? This stream is no longer a stream. It's now a river, right? It's this big river that's too deep to walk through. But the important part about this river is not the size of it, but where it comes from. Okay, here, when we see a river or stream, we're like, oh yeah, it comes from the mountain, it gathers, and then it creates a river and then down into the lakes. But in this passage, it doesn't come from a mountain. Okay, the source of the river doesn't even flow through the temple. What it says is the source of the river, it flows from the sanctuary. From inside the temple, from the place where God's presence would dwell, where he would be. And so what we need to know is the source of this river is God himself. Okay, it's not this normal river that he's describing. This is the river that comes from God himself, that is God himself. And so knowing this, what is the significance of what Ezekiel and this guy are doing? Okay, when we see repetition in the Bible, we know it's not a high schooler trying to reach word count, and they're just kind of copy and pasting that same thing they put in there. Okay, there's an important detail that they're trying to give out. They're like, hey, there's repetition here because I want to teach you something. And so he wanted to teach Ezekiel about the rising water, because that's the only thing that changed, was where the water was rising. And finally, they reached a point when he wanted Ezekiel to realize something, and he said to him, Ezekiel, do you see what I'm trying to show you? Do you see what's happening? And Ezekiel doesn't respond, so we have to learn from reading through it. But I think what God was trying to show Ezekiel is that he didn't want Ezekiel to stay in like that ankle-deep water. And so he brought him a little deeper, and then it was knee-deep. And he's like, no, Ezekiel, I don't want you there either. Let's go a little further. And his waist, and he's like, no, I want you to go a little further. And then his shoulders, and he's like, no, I want you to go a little further. And then it was over his head. And suddenly at that point, he's like, perfect. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? And so I think God is trying to show Ezekiel through this vision that it doesn't matter how comfortable someone might be in their relationship with Jesus, that God's calling them deeper and deeper and deeper into a relationship with him. Because, right, it's not about swimming in this passage. It's about a relationship with God because this river is from God. And so God calls his followers to go deeper and deeper and deeper into a relationship with them, to not stay where they're comfortable, but to continue on. And this is what picture of what giving your life to God looks like. Ankle deep wasn't enough. Knee deep wasn't enough for a relationship with Jesus. Waist deep wasn't enough for a relationship with Jesus. Okay, God is not calling us to be comfortable. He's calling us deeper. You know, when we're at youth, a lot of times we'll spend some time and we'll like be worshiping and we'll want to pray for people. And so I'll sit and I'm like, God, like, okay, God, who would you like me to pray for, Lord? Would you just illuminate that person that you want me to pray over, and I'll do it. And in my mind, I have those like five or six people that I'm comfortable with, that I'm like, I know their life, I know their story, I'm comfortable speaking life into them and like praying over them. Like, I'm good with that. But then while I'm praying, I'm like, God, would you highlight a person for me to pray over? 9 times out of 10, he never chooses one of those people. He always highlights someone else, someone who's like, God, I'm not like that comfortable with that person. I don't really know much of their story. Are you sure? Are you sure it's not that person beside them? And often God says, it's like, no, like this is the person I want you to pray over. But I'm like, God, why? I'm uncomfortable. I don't know this person. But that's the thing. God doesn't call us to a comfortable place. He calls us to actually be okay getting uncomfortable. Because this is the thing, what God wants for us, whether we're in ankle-deep water, knee-deep water, whatever, is he wants us to rely on him. He wants us to depend on him. That's all he wants. And so he's calling us not to be comfortable because we don't have to rely on him when we're comfortable. He's calling us to rely on him to get uncomfortable where we think we can't do it anymore. And so Jesus is actually in the business of calling everyone to a depth where they actually cannot live without him. That's where he's calling us to. He's saying, hey, you can live there, not deep enough. Let's go. Let's go further and further. It's only when we go beyond where we can stand, beyond where we can just make it happen in our life, where we immerse ourselves in him, That's when God can begin to do stuff in us and through us because we're now focused on him. And so comfortability, guys, can limit what God can do in us and through us. And so if you're always in comfortable situations in your relationship with Jesus, maybe you should look to see if you're listening to him or not. Because often God will call us to uncomfortable places so that we have to rely on him. And so God is calling us deeper to a place where we can't stand anymore. Let's continue reading. Ezekiel 6 and 7. We'll reread 6. It says this. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. I just like this wording. I was surprised. This is a small detail that we often pass over, but it actually holds a lot of significance, a lot of truth in it. This entire section before this, Ezekiel is walking along half kilometer lengths of this bank, of this river. And as he was going, he never mentions trees. He never saw any vegetation. There was nothing alive on those banks. It was just the dirt he was walking on. And in the moment that Ezekiel gets deep enough where he actually has to swim, where it goes over his head and he gets out, at that point, suddenly, there's trees. And so you got to think about why. Like, why is this written in the Bible like this? But it's, again, once he fully immersed himself, did these trees begin to show up? And so again, this river flows from God's presence. It is God himself, and it symbolizes life with God. And only when Ezekiel fully immersed himself in this life with God did he begin to see the life that comes from following Jesus. Right? John 10:10. Jesus says, like, hey, I have come to give life, and not just life. He said life to the full, the fullest life you can ever encounter. He said, Jesus said, hey, I can bring you that life. And so when we fully immerse ourselves, that's when God is like, hey, here it is. Here's this beautiful life that I have to offer you. When I was, again, in those youth days, like skateboarding and stuff like that, I called myself a follower of Jesus. Okay, I followed him. I called myself a Christian, but I didn't really do much. Okay, I didn't really believe much. I knew the rules. I knew what I had to do. I knew what it looked like to follow him, but my heart wasn't there. When I was a youth, I was probably the most maybe waist deep, but it was mostly knee or ankle deep because I didn't really want to follow him. I was there and my friends were there, but I didn't really desire him. But this is the thing. I wasn't actually enjoying my life with Jesus at that point. I wasn't having a good time because I was like, I feel like I'm giving and giving and there's nothing coming back. It's like this. There's like empty promises that I thought God was supposed to fill me, but I'm not feeling anything. And so maybe that's you in this room. You're in ankle deep water and you're like, man, I feel like following God, there's nothing good from it. I just have to give and there's nothing that comes back. Maybe you're like, you know what, these rules, like I'm a Christian, but these rules are kind of stupid. Maybe you're like, you know what, I don't know if I want to follow Jesus because it's boring. Maybe you're like, you know what, I can follow Jesus just enough where then I can do things what I want and then I can ask for forgiveness and I know that his grace is sufficient for me and then I'll go to heaven one day. Then maybe you're like, I like Jesus, but I don't have to change my life to follow him. He's just kind of a little add-on top. That's where I was. That's what ankle-deep water looks like. There's no fruit in that relationship. There's no trees on that bank. Okay, you're not getting anything back, and what it will happen is that will feel like religion. There's no relationship there. It's rule-following, and it's non-life-giving. And if you're in that spot, you're going to be like, wow, Jesus is fake. This is not what someone promised me. Because it feels like religion, and you don't get to see the fruits of following Jesus. Maybe you're in the boat of like your waist, shoulder deep in your relationship with Jesus, and you're like, you know what? I don't really think of those things. But maybe you're in this room, and you're like, you know what? I read my Bible every day, but you know it's been a long time since like I ever heard anything from Jesus. Or you're like, I worship and pray to God whenever I think about it, but I can get distracted often, and so then I will forget, and I won't seek him. You know, I love Jesus a lot, but sometimes the things of this world kind of take my attention, and I kind of go off a little bit, and then I come back. Maybe you're in that space. That you might be seeing a little bit of fruit of your relationship with Jesus, but it's almost like you have to try super hard to just get a little bit. You're like, I really have to hone in, and then I'll be able to feel his presence that one time in worship. kind of begins to feel like a chore. And I can find myself a lot here, where it can feel fulfilling, but it also cannot be. And it's really easy to be content here, and that's the dangerous part. Because we're like, I'm seeking Jesus, and I'm still discovering him a little bit. And so we're happy to stay there. And if you find yourself in that spot, if you're like, Riley, you hit it, like that's, I think that's me. I want you to know this, and I tell myself this every day when I kind of stop seeking Jesus and I get content where I'm at. And I tell myself, Riley, there is more to Jesus than you are finding. Riley, there's more to Jesus than what you're seeing. And he tells that to each of us. He says, Massey, there is more to me than you have found. He's saying, Caleb, there is more to me than you have found. Like, keep searching, keep finding. He's saying, Owen, there's more to me. Find me. There is more for you. God has more for you. Okay, and where you might be like, hey, this is good enough. But let me tell you, once you have tasted and seen the more that God has for you, you will never be content. It will never be good enough for you again where you were, because you will know how good God is and how much more he has for you. And so once you've fully immersed yourself, it won't feel like rules anymore. The spiritual dry seasons will become less. Okay, in the worst moments of your life, you'll be satisfied and content because you know that Jesus has you. You'll begin to see life from God's perspective once you have fully immersed yourself. And so when we do fully immerse ourselves in the rivers, when we receive the full life that God promises us. This is the issue though, guys. When I think about being fully immersed and I think about this river, and I feel like my biggest fear is, the biggest fear of dying is drowning, okay? I do not want to drown whatsoever. That is the worst way to go, okay? But when I think about this river and how it's too much, it's too powerful, too deep to stand, I get this feeling that of fear, of like, man, like, that's scary. Like, man, I could potentially die in that river when I think about it literally. And like, God, why are you trying to evoke that emotion in me? And then I thought about it and I was like, actually, maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is to evoke that emotion, that through death, we can actually find something better. That when we lose our life, that we actually receive something better than we could imagine. And it made me think about this verse, Matthew 10:39, which says this, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're scared to fully go into God, even knowing the promises that he has, because you're scared of losing what you have built up. That you have this life that you don't want to lose, that you want to hold on to, but you still want to follow Jesus. And so we're scared to lose those things that we desire most in life. And so we're not ready to fully immerse ourselves. We think that if we do fully immerse, if we go all into Jesus, that we actually can't run the successful business that we have. That if we fully immerse ourselves, that we'll lose our progress towards our life goals that we want to accomplish. If we fully immerse ourselves, we won't be able to prioritize our family, our spouse, our kids, because we'll need to prioritize God instead. If we fully immerse ourselves, we won't be able to go to the school we want, and so then we won't be able to get the job that we desire so desperately in life. We get scared of losing everything that we've built up in life, and so then we just stay at that 80%, that comfortable spot where we're content in our relationship with Jesus, where we have control still, and we're scared to take that next step and experience this new life with Jesus because we don't want to let go of what we have. And so we desperately hold on to this life that we have built. But guys, what if? Okay, what if only when we surrender those plans, only when we surrender those dreams, okay, the things that we've built up, is only when we give those up and say, God, you know what? I know I want these, but I want you more, and we fully devote ourselves to God. What if only then does God actually give us those things that we wanted, but then and more? A life that's even better. What happens if it all takes is letting go of those things and God takes them and is like, hey, I got more for you than even what you originally wanted. Here it is. I think of Job. Job had everything in the world. And then he lost it all. Throughout the whole time, he's finding Jesus. He's holding on to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I trust you with everything. In the end, what happens? Job gets back what he lost and more. so much more than he could have imagined, because he was willing to give those things up and not chase after them, and instead chase after Jesus. What happens if we let go of those things, and if we immerse ourselves in Jesus, that actually when we immerse ourselves in him, we actually still have a successful business, that we're able to provide for our family and be generous on top of it? What happens if when we immerse ourselves with Jesus, we actually get to glorify God in our life plans, in our dreams that we would like to have? What if when we immerse ourselves that we're able to have our whole family pursue Jesus, and we don't have to pick one or the other, but both go together? What happens if we immerse ourselves that God gives us a career that we didn't even know we needed, but in the end we're like, this is everything? Is that possible? That if we lose everything, that we are okay dying to ourselves, that we'll actually find the full life that's in Jesus? I think so. But you have to decide that for yourself. Lose your life for his sake, and you'll find a better and more fulfilling life. Okay, let's read the last bit of this passage, 7 to 12. Let's do it. It says this, that when I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En-Gedi to En-Galim. Beautiful, got it. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food, and leaves for healing. And so the basic purpose of this river was to bring life. We see trees, we see vegetations. There's also life in the sea, and this sea is the Dead Sea. And if you know anything about the Dead Sea, okay, it is 1,296 feet below sea level, really low. And from there, there's nothing lower. And so when water flows in with everything that it has, all the minerals and things it carries, it can't leave. There's nowhere for it to go. And so what happens is it evaporates. But it leaves behind all the mineral deposits and things that it carried with it. And so the Dead Sea is what it sounds like. It's dead. Not much can grow in it. It's so salty. There's no life to it. But this passage, this river that's flowing from God's sanctuary, actually flows into this sea, and the Dead Sea becomes fresh. The Hebrew word they use is healed, that it becomes healed. What was once the Dead Sea is now alive and healed. What was once dead is now healed. With Jesus, death leads to life. People are getting baptized today. What are they doing? They're dying to their old self. They're going under the water saying, hey, I'm done with this. I'm dying to my old self. And when they come up, they're what? They're raised to life. They find new life in Jesus when they come up. Okay, from death to life. When we die on this earth, it's not the end. When we die, we get to go live with Jesus in eternity through the resurrection and the life that he has given us. And so when we die, it actually leads to life. In Jesus' death, when we read in the Bible, he doesn't stay dead. What happens? It's not your question. What happens? It's not your question. What happens? Raised to life. From death to life. It's through the death that we find this life and healing. And so through Jesus' death on the cross, he's defeated death. He says, oh, death, where is your sting? You're gone. You're done. You're kaput. He's like, I have conquered you. Now where there was once death, there is now this life. Well, what was once empty and full of sin is now full of life. And what he says is, hey, I will bring abundant life to all who are in the river. And so what he's saying is, hey, the living water that flows out of him, that enters our heart, it cleanses us. It heals us. What was once dead inside of us because of sin and shame is now healed and whole because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because he has healed us. We were once dead, But Christ has healed us, and now we have eternal life. And so now we can jump in the river and receive the salvation that comes from him. We can jump in the river and receive the full life that comes from him. And we can jump in the river and have an eternity with him. And so the best thing we can receive, or the best life we can receive, is the one that requires us to fully release ours. I'm going to read that twice. The best life we can receive is the one that requires us to fully release ours. Jesus released his life for us, so now we can receive that one. But it requires us letting go of our own lives and taking that one that he has given us. And so God is not calling us to comfort. He's calling us deeper. Will you go beyond where you can stand? Will you trust him with everything? Will you give up your life to find life in him? We have a choice today. Again, Jesus is offering. He's given himself fully to us. So we have a choice today. How are we going to respond to this? How are we going to say yes to him? Are we going to say yes to him calling us deeper into the river? Are we going to say yes to him today? We have a choice to make. So how can we? How can we go deeper? How can we stand? How can we go fully in that river? There are three ways that I think we can do that. And there's many ways, but I want to pick three that are a little bit different. And so the first one is this. Sit with him. Simple. Sit with Jesus. Because in this life, what often happens is we're busy. We go, 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 go. And then when we do have a moment with Jesus, we sit and we pray, 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 pray. And the moment we say amen, we get up and we go, 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 go again. We never stop. The Lord already knows what you want to say. The Lord already knows everything about you. But we don't know what he wants to say to us. And so why do we just fill our word? Why do we fill our lives in words and busyness and never take time to hear Jesus? And so I think one of the ways that we can get deeper is we can actually take time and be like, no, God, I'm going to sit in this moment with you. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to listen to what your Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And when I hear it, I'm not even going to talk. I'm just going to say, keep going. Keep talking. Sit with Jesus. And I promise you, he'll show up. Second thing is invite him into our every decision. This is what we do with Jesus. Similar to the talk, 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 and then pray, 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 and then go. We do this, is when we invite Jesus into our life, what we do is we go, okay, Jesus, like on our walk with, when we're walking to school, we're like, hey, Jesus, would you be with me right now? And then when we're like driving to work, Jesus, would you be with me right now? When we're in bed about to go to sleep, we're like, Jesus, would you be with me right now? And those are all great moments, but what you're doing is you're inviting Jesus into the moments that you're not deciding or doing anything. You're saying, hey, God, be with me when I'm not living my life. Be with me when I'm just doing nothing. And like again, that's good, but what we should be doing is we should actually be allowing Jesus to have a part of our life. Okay, well, you guys make decisions every day, so many decisions. And what we do is we make a decision, and then we say, okay, God, would you be with me? And then we make a decision ourselves, and we're like, hey, okay, God, would you be with me? Why don't we do the opposite, and we say, hey, God, would you be with me in my decision that I'm making today? I need your wisdom. And then we live our lives through that because God's directing us. And then we come to the next decision. God, would you be with me as I decide how to best parent my children today? God, could you give me wisdom? And instead of inviting him after, we know he's already with us because he's with us in the decision. Okay, when we're deciding what to do in post-secondary, instead of being like, God, I'm going to choose where I'm going to go, and then would you be with me? We say, God, where would you like me to go? Because I know you have the best for me. And so if you help me decide this, I know that you'll be with me. And so we need to invite Jesus into our decisions, not just our life. Tell him, hey, Jesus, I need you to have control over my life. Because what happens is this. The more you do that, the more you're going to realize, man, God actually wants good things for me. God actually wants to give me good gifts. You're like, wow, God's been leading me into some great places. And we begin to realize that, man, maybe letting God take part of our life and more of our life makes us realize that, man, he actually cares for me, so I'm going to give him more and more and more. And you realize, and you get to a place where you're like, you know what? I don't even have to be in control anymore because I know Jesus is directing me. I know he's calling me and leading me. And so invite him into your decisions. And the last one is sacrifice some of your life. You got to lose our life to find his. So what in your life can you sacrifice? What's taking time away from Jesus? What are you holding on to so desperately because you just love it? Think about those things right now. Don't think about them later. Think about them right now. What are those things that you're holding on to, that you're building up? My question for you is, are you willing to let them go? Are you willing to lose it? To lose control over it and to instead jump right into Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, I love that thing, but I love you more, and I know that through my relationship with you, that you're gonna give me good gifts. And I'll reach a point where I don't even think about thing anymore because you've given me something so good. And so as you sacrifice that thing, instead of spending time on that, then spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus and seek him. And just know that as you give those things up, Jesus is gonna give you life and life to the full. And so go in with all everything. Immerse yourself. Lose yourself. Die to yourself. And as you come out, I promise you, you will find a better life, a more fulfilling life, a life to the full. And just as we close today, there's something really special about this passage that we read. Again, it's kind of like right in the middle of the Bible too, which is really cool. Because what we do is in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, we see this garden that God created. And in the garden, there was this river that flowed through it. And what this river did is it gave life to everything in the garden. Life to the trees, to the plants, to the animals, to the humans. This life, or this river gave life to all things. But then when sin entered, the garden was lost, the river was gone. And now humans had to find life elsewhere. But now we see in Ezekiel here, middle of the Bible, this vision of a river that gives life to all things. A vision of the past of what once was and was lost because of sin. But now this vision of what's to come when Jesus restores all things, this is what's gonna happen. A promise. And if you were to flip your Bible to the very end of the Bible, I'm not kidding. Revelation 22, this is what it says. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Think of the similarities. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit. With a fresh crop each month, the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be any curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their forehead, and there will be no more night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. That's the very end of the Bible. We see at the beginning, at the middle, and at the end, when God's gonna return, he's gonna bring this river that's gonna give life to all his people. Everyone who's found in this river will have life and life to the fullest. It's eternal life with Jesus. And this river, again, in the beginning, it flowed through the garden. In this vision, it flows from the temple. But in the end, it flows from the throne of God and the Lamb himself. And it gives life to all things. It restores all things. It is the pinnacle of creation. What was once lost and denied to future generations because of sin is now fully restored. It is a life from, with, and in Jesus. So whoever's found in that river will receive everlasting life. Anyone. Jesus died on the cross, has taken death, sin, everything that lived inside of us. He's taken it and he's replaced it with this living water, with this life that he offers. There is no greater thing that this world has to offer. No stream, no river this world says will bring you life is greater than this one, because they will all lead to the Dead Sea. They'll all lead to death and decay, but this river that flows from Jesus will never lead to death, but actually leads to life and eternal life. This river is salvation. This river is the hope of the world. This river is the completion of God's work on this earth. Are you in this river? How deep are you? Are you ready to be uncomfortable? Are you ready to lose your life in order to find it? Are you willing to go over your head, immersing yourself to receive the full life that Jesus has for you? I hope and pray that you can say yes to one of these. And so as we close, I just want to give us a chance to respond, because again, Jesus has already responded to us. He's waiting for us to respond to what he has done. And so there's three ways I want us to respond. But the first one is for those that are in this room that maybe you're not in the river. You're on the bank still. You haven't even made to ankle deep water, and you're like, I don't know about Jesus, but something's sounding good from him. From the testimonies I heard where people have said they have found life in him, I want that. And you're like, maybe this river, maybe this stream that comes from God, a relationship with Jesus, is the place where I can find it. And so maybe you're in this room and you're like, you know what? I want to seek that out. I want to find Jesus. I want to say yes to Jesus for the first time and invite him into my life. And I want to get in that river. And so again, I want to give that opportunity to anyone that's in here, because there's no greater decision. And so if you're in this room and you're like, you know what, Riley, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be in the river. I want to have life and life to the full. I want everlasting life with Jesus in heaven. If you're in this room, just give me a wave and I want to pray for you. Okay, if there's no one, we'll just continue. Yeah, I see you. Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? Keep waving. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you. Yeah, I see you, man. Awesome. Yeah, I see you. That's amazing. Okay, why don't we pray this moment? Jesus, Lord, you are so good, God. You are our everlasting Father, Lord. You are the life of the world. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you have offered yourself fully to us. God, you've given yourself, and you say, hey, all who come to me will receive this everlasting life. All who come to me will receive this life that I gave, and they will be made whole. They will be healed. Where there was once death, there's now going to be life. And Lord, I just thank you for those that put their hands up, Lord, that say they want to follow you, that say that they want to get into this river, God, even if it's just ankle deep right now. God, I pray right now, would they just say to you, God, would they just say to you in their own words, Lord, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you came to this earth, that you died on a cross for my sins, and but that you didn't remain dead, but you raised to life and now offer me eternal life, Lord. And would they just say, Lord, would you be the Lord of my life, God? Lord, would they know that in this moment that they are sealed, that they're in the river, Lord, and that they are saved, Jesus. And now they can have life and life to the fullest, Lord. So we thank you for them, Jesus. Praise in your name, amen. And so now I want to ask further. If you're in this room and you're like, you know what, Riley, I've just been in ankle deep water. I've just been splashing in Jesus, and I was like you when you were in middle school and high school, and you're like, you know, I want to get deeper in my faith. I want to take the next step. I want to go from a 4 to a 5. You're like, I'm not ready for immersion, but I want to get deeper. I'm ready for that next step. If you're in that room, why don't you just put your hand up? Because I want to pray for you. Put your hand up if you're like, I want to get deeper. I want to get deeper in the river. I don't want to stay where I am. Yeah, I see you guys. Yeah, I see you guys. Yeah, I see you. Yeah, I see you. Yeah, I see you. I see you. Awesome. Awesome, guys. Okay, and then if you're in this room and you're like, you know what, Riley, I'm like in waist deep, I'm in shoulder deep, but I want to be fully immersed. I want to be totally into Jesus. I want to let go of my life. I want to die to myself, and I want to find new life in Jesus. I want to be all in. I'm not going to hold anything back. If that's you in this room and you're like, you know what, I want to be fully immersed, then let's do something uncomfortable. And if you're like saying that you want that, would you just stand? Declaring, hey, Jesus, I want to be fully immersed with you. I want you and you alone. I don't want to hold anything back. I don't want to be 80%. I don't want to be half committed. I want it fully. I want to go all the way. I want to give you my everything. And if you're not standing, that's okay. Not everyone can be there yet, because we just talked about it. It's hard. It's hard to do this. So awesome. And so let's pray to end today. And if you're standing, then pray. Say, God, I want it all. God, would you just reveal to me things that I'm holding on to? Would you show me what I need to give up? And would you just ask him yourself? And if you're in this room and you raise your hand to get deeper, just ask God, Lord, help me get deeper. Help me get more into the river. So let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for how good you are, God. We thank you for the life that you have given us, God, that you have showed us and revealed yourself to us, Lord. And that we can get up and we can get deep into this river, Lord, that we can walk all the way in, Lord. There's no barriers in the way, Jesus. You give us full access to your full presence, Jesus. And so I pray for those that are standing in this room, Lord, would you encourage us, Lord, and would you call us deeper, Lord? Would you call us to a place where we can't have control anymore, where we let go of our lives and we say, you know what, Lord, I need you and only you. And Lord, would you guide me? Would you give me life? Would you protect me, Lord? And would they say, I'm fully in, 100% committed, 10 out of 10, no turning back. Lord, I pray, would you show up, Jesus? Would you reveal yourself, Jesus? Would you be speaking to them, Jesus, showing them what they need to give up, Lord, and how to continue to get deeper, Lord? And would this be a moment that we remember, Jesus, of giving our lives to you, God? So thank you for today, Lord. We pray everything that happened, Lord, we seal it and just say, would it be done, God? We thank you, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.